be real honest with you. If the anointing doesn't show up, we'd all leave and go home. Amen. Yes, it's here. That's why we're here. Amen. I'm saying if it didn't show up, we would leave and go home. I'm telling you right now. A lot of times whenever we get up here, before I preach sometimes, just because I work too, I'd want to ask y'all for prayer because I'm wore out, to be honest with you. Because I get up about 3, 3:30 every day and then get home pretty late in the evenings. And so I rely on the anointing when I get up here, to be honest with y'all, because I know for a fact my body's wore out. I know that. Amen. So without the anointing, we wouldn't get nothing done. But thank God for the anointing. Exodus, turn over to Exodus, please, 13, verse 14. Hallelujah. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee. Yes. Amen. We got it out. In time to come, saying, what is this? Thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. Right? Thank you. What was we reading just then? Was it? Yeah. By strength of hand, the Lord brought us out from Egypt. From the house of bondage. That word bondage right there also means servants. Yes. Brought us out from the house of servants. So it shall be when thy sons ask thee in time to come, saying, what is this? That thou shalt say unto him, by strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of slavery. Amen. Amen. Right? Amen. So, Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name. And I thank you. I'm not relying on myself, but on you, Father God, on the anointing, on the mantle that you placed on my life as the pastor here. And I thank you, Father God, that we are receiving this by faith right now in the name of Jesus. We are pulling on that anointing by faith right now. We're not looking at the natural man because we understand he can't do nothing. But the anointing on a man will change everybody's life because the anointing's able to speak things that we don't plan on saying, but it also speaks things that'll help correct us, help us to correct our lives and correct things we're doing. That way we can move further and faster. And so we thank you for the word this evening, Father God. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. 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 Turn over to Deuteronomy. Go to chapter 6 first, please. I'm going to say this. Well, the title I wrote down was, don't allow beliefs that you don't even realize you have limit you. Amen. So don't allow beliefs that you don't even realize you have limit you. Amen. There's going to be a couple videos I'm going to show here in a minute. They're pretty good. You'll kind of see why. I'll say this real fast. Faith isn't natural growth. Faith isn't natural growth. It doesn't grow just because you got older. Faith isn't natural growth. It doesn't grow just because you got older. Amen. Amen. Faith is not natural growth. It does not grow just because you get older. It doesn't. By no means does it. Amen. You got to get into the Word of God, which will grow your faith. Amen. Deuteronomy, where did we go? 6:7. That's a good place. Pull up the CEV, please. and tell them to your children over and over again. And tell them to your children over and over again. Tell them to your children over and over again. Tell them to your children over and what? Talk about them sometimes. Okay. Whether you're at home or walking along the road or going to bed at night or getting up in the morning. Why would he say that? What are they listening to constantly right now? What's the world teaching them right now? So do you want the world to teach your kids? Not only that, who's teaching you? Amen. What are we constantly repeating over and over again in our lives? Is it the word or is it problems? Is it the word or is it what's going on in the world? Is it the word or is it defeat? Is it the word or is it lack? Amen. Tell them to yourselves and your children over and over again. Tell them to yourselves and your children over and over again. Talk about them all the time. Whether you're at home or walking along the road or going to bed at night or getting up in the morning. Amen. Another great, great reason was what happened to the older ones whenever they left Egypt. They died in the wilderness, didn't they? So it was very important to God. Don't teach this younger generation how you live and how you act. They could have went into the promised land, but they absolutely chose not to. Their choice. It was for them. God gave it to them and sent them out in overflow. But they made the decision not to go in. They did. But God was like, don't just teach. Make sure you keep these in front of your kids' face all the time. All the time. And it's very important because a lot of times they kept lack, they kept doubt in front of their face. We ain't got no food. We ain't got no meat. This is all we get. Just bread again. We ain't got no water now. You know, how do we sound like that sometimes though? Oh gosh, another bill. Who's leaving all the lights on in the house? We can't have the AC that cold. You know how high the electric bill will be? I don't care. I'm hot. We'll put it down to zero if we want. Seriously. There's been a lot of fights made over an AC unit. Me and Chelsea made a checklist for couples to talk about before they get married. AC temperature is one of them. We learned that. Because I don't like it too warm. She likes it warm. So I made a lot of investments in just big blanket hoodie things that she can just put on. It's like a big comforter thing. Walk around in that. Look, it's hot in this house. I know you're freezing, but I ain't. Moving on, I digress. But we got to teach the kids, and not only the kids. Seriously, a lot of times we think about, yeah, we got to teach the kids, but what are we teaching them in our off time when we're not talking the word? Whenever we have a disagreement with our spouse, what are we teaching them now? What am I teaching my friends whenever they come over and I have something pop up that I'm not expecting? Because I've been telling them I'm a Christian, I'm a born again believer, but what are my actions saying to them? Because a lot of times you're talking without moving your lips. And tell them to your children over and over again. Talk about them all the time, whether you're at home or walking along the road. How many of us repeat the word of God over and over in our life daily? Seriously, daily. Yeah. I'm gonna tell y'all, well, moving on. All about them all the time, whether you're at home or walking along the road or going to bed at night are getting up in the morning. Amen. What are we constantly talking about going over and over? What are we going over and over? Because I'm telling you right now, if you're not going to teach your kids, the world will for you easily. Amen. They're working on it right now. Well, they've been working on it for a while. Because it turns them... I had this conversation one time. Well, don't God love everybody? I thought God loved everybody. You know, as younger people. I thought God loved everybody, though. He does. But just because he loved... Why would he send his son if he didn't love everybody? Why would Jesus say, yes, I'll go and take all the sin on upon himself that we would ever commit and bear that for each and every one of us? You can't tell me he doesn't love everybody. It's our decisions that we make that chooses what we're going to do in life, where we're going after we die. It's our decisions, not God. He already did what he needed to do on the cross. He made the decision. He made the plan for everybody to get out. If we choose not to, that's on us. Amen. Whatever we plant in our subconscious mind and nourish with repetition and emotion will one day become a reality. Amen. Whatever we plant in our subconscious mind and nourish with repetition and emotion will one day become a reality. What's stopping me from going further than my parents? These are questions you can ask yourself. What's stopping me from going further than my parents? What's stopping me from having a house debt-free? What's stopping me from having the vehicle debt-free? What's stopping me from having a house in another state that I'd want to go to for vacation? What's stopping me? Is it something that I was told in school or by my parents? What's stopping me from having this? What is it? Is it something that's inside of me that's actually stopping me that I'm not really realizing that I was taught from a young age? Just like whenever... Let's talk about it. You know, your kids come up and say, hey, I want this. And what's the first thing that comes out of everybody's mouth? Not just that, but you better get a job. Not, we'll find scripture. Let's believe God for it. Right. Now we just taught them the world's way. Get a job. So now instead of going after things the Word's way, they go after things the world's way. And so now we've subconsciously made that a part of our life. Every one of us has. Who hasn't said that? Well, if I want something else, I better get another instead of going to the... See, there's things on the inside of us we really don't even realize that's inside that got planted there that we haven't taken care of yet. That we need to go ahead and take care of and get it out. How are we going to get that out? See, subconsciously, we don't realize a lot of things like that's there. We really don't. We really don't until you come up against something and then you hear what you say and you go, where did that come from? That was something that was embedded down deep that you didn't realize was there, but you heard it whenever you was in kindergarten. And so it stuck with you your whole life and you didn't even realize it. So it's been hindering you this whole time from getting a house debt-free or getting a house on the river because you're not in that category, because you're not that color, whatever it is. That stops a lot of people. Why? Because they've been told their whole life, well, you're not the right person that can have that kind of stuff. Who said that? Is that because that's how you were raised? And now I've taken on how you were raised over 100 years ago? Come on. We got to pay attention. Pay attention to these things. We do. We have to find out. I can't tell you what it is for you. You have to find out. But what's stopping you? What we got to ask ourselves that. What is stopping me from getting another house or this house debt free? What's stopping me? Is it what I'm believing or is it the Word of God? You got to sit down and have the conversation with yourself. What's stopping me? Put the Bible, get the Bible out, set it on the table, and say, all right, now we're going to talk about it. What's stopping me? And have a piece of paper and write house on it. What's stopping me from having my house debt free? Me or the Bible? What's stopping it? We got to find out. Because we got to stop blaming the Bible for stuff that it ain't got nothing to do with. But it's something that's in on the inside of us that we just haven't taken care of yet. I mean, we've talked about it before, but the great example of whenever Moses went up the mountain, first thing they did was, well, Moses gone. What are we going to do, Aaron? I don't know. Just throw, give me your gold. We'll make a golden calf and serve that. Why? They never took care of what was on the inside of them, that was buried down on the inside of them until a situation came up, and that's what came out. But they wouldn't deal with it. They wouldn't deal with it. And so when lack would show up and things like that, oh, I know God gave us everything that the Egyptians had. We left in overflow, going to overflow, but we ain't going to make it. We're starving. We have to deal with this, some of this stuff, right? So what's stopping me from doing whatever? My age? These are just questions you need to be asking yourself. I put down my education. My pay. Well, you know, I don't make that kind of money. See, once again... We done went back to the world system. We're so focused on the world system that we've forgot about God's system. If you haven't been going to what's it called? Financial Breakthrough. Last Sunday was excellent. Man. But what are we keeping on the inside of us? We got. Play that first video. Let's do that because, we're just. Yeah, we're good. Amen. Yeah, play the. Let's do the first one. Please.
Yeah. And they put scars on their faces, and they told these women that they're going into a job interview, and the purpose of the experiment is to find out whether people with facial disfigurements.
You got it, Toyota. There we go.
And literally a couple of days ago, where they did an experiment with a group of women, and they put scars on their faces, and they told these women that they're going into a job interview. And the purpose of the experiment is to find out whether people with facial disfigurements face discrimination. They showed them the scars in the mirror. The women saw themselves with these scars. And as they led them out of the room, they said, we're just going to touch it up a little bit. And as they touched it up, they removed the scarring completely. So the women went into the job interview thinking that they are scarred, but actually being their normal selves. And the result of the experiment is that those women then came back reporting massively increased level of discrimination. Indeed, many of them came back with comments that the interviewer had made that they felt were referencing their facial disfigurements. And this is why I think this ideology of victimhood is so dangerous, because if you preach to people constantly that we're all oppressed, that we're all being discriminated against at different levels. That because I'm an immigrant, I'm automatically disadvantaged. That because I have dark skin, I'm automatically disadvantaged. Then that primes people to look for that. And it's like, when you buy a new car, you see that car everywhere else as you drive around. It's that kind of effect, which is why this ideology of teaching people that they're victims is so incredibly damaging and so incredibly dangerous. We have to teach young people in particular that they're strong, that they're capable, that they're able to overcome adversity, not that they're victims.
Amen. That's really good. That's very interesting, though. They just told them you have a scar. And so they were thinking it. And so now it changed the entire interview. Now they came back talking with comments, he said, that they said concerning their scar. See, what were we told growing up that we've been carrying with us our whole life now? What have we been told? You know, you're dumb. You're too stupid. You're not smart enough to go to college. You can't own a nice house like that. That's not part of you. You'll struggle your whole life. What have we been told that we've carried along with us all these years? And why have we carried it along with us all these years? It affected us a little bit. It really did. But we need to let it go. We need to let it go. We need to fill that void, that little gap, with the word. Yes. And what God says about me. Not what man or another person or my parents said about me. Not at all. What does the word of God say concerning me in my life? What does it say? What does the word of God say concerning my bank account? Amen. Concerning the house that I should live in. Because who says you can't own another house? Who said it? Amen. Who said it? Well, I'm on a fixed income. Who fixed it? Because now we're once again looking at what I'm making. Now we're once again looking at what I can afford. Have you even asked God about it yet? Or did you just go right to the end marker? That way there's no pressure on you. Man, and ask God about it. I learned that from Dad. Like whenever they were starting that house down, or starting the church down in Warren, he didn't just go down there and buy a house. He didn't. He prayed about it for a while first. So they would rent either a hotel room or an Airbnb or something. And they, y'all know, whenever they started that, either my dad, my mom, or Levi would drive down every Sunday, 8 hours one way, to go preach at that church, right? Whenever they started it. And so he prayed about it for a while, and then God said, yeah, go ahead and get a house. See, now he's got an answer, a word to, yes, get the house. See, he didn't go off on his own, but he prayed about it first. And he didn't go off of why do you need another house? Why am I worried about what everybody else is saying? I should be worrying about what God's saying concerning my life, not everybody else. Because number one, I'm living this life, not you. Not you. You're not a part of this life. I am. And if you want to get mad at me, well, get mad at God, because he's the one that told me. He's the one that said I can own this. He's the one that said I can live in overflow. So if you want to get mad at God. Amen. Well, you don't have to do this experiment, but I'll do an experiment with. Yeah, I will. All right, so if you want to stand up, you can stand up. All right, and then I'll just tell you, raise your right hand, your index finger, and then just kind of turn, relax, just see kind of how far you'll go. And then just come back to the front. Start in the front and then just turn back and just kind of relax and then just come back to the front. All right, now put your arm down. Now close your eyes. Don't pick your hand up. You can put your hand down. But now visualize you picking your finger up and turning all the way around. Almost make it a game. Don't do it. Just visualize it. Just keep your eyes closed and just pick your hand up and just see yourself going all the way back. Now open your eyes. Now pick your finger up. Now turn again. How many of y'all went further? You can sit down. Play that video now, please. The front of this video, that's what he does. And so now I'll let him talk to you.
There you go. Your right finger pointer.
Thank God. So, did you have the potential to turn as far as you did the second time, the first time?
Yes.
Why didn't you?
I didn't believe it, I guess.
we have beliefs about stuff we don't even know we have beliefs. You have an unconscious belief about how far you can turn comfortably.
The first time I did it, when I pointed straight back,
yeah,
I thought I was that probably shouldn't even go that far, like it was going to hurt me or that yeah. I wasn't capable of going any yeah. farther. It's like,
and how much further did you go this time? And the camera knows
it. Over there.
That's exactly
over there.
Right. Now, here's the difference. The potential was there the first time, and you took action, and you got a result. But it was 50% less than what you did later on. And the only difference is I changed your belief. How did I change your belief? We didn't work harder on your potential. We didn't take more action. I got you to see the result in advance. I got you to see it vividly two or three times. That's all. Of going further, and then your brain went, oh, I know what to do. Boom, it went there. Isn't that what you did by looking at your cars every single day and envisioning it? I mean, isn't that what you did when you created whatever the vision was? It was $300, $2,500, $1 million in a day. That's what's missing for these people. They're not getting that execution is everything, but it doesn't happen if you don't get the psychology set of a state of total certainty. And you can you just change that 50% in 3 minutes worth of visualization.
Right. Interesting, ain't it? Yeah. Interesting. Because once you close your eyes and you've seen yourself going further, then you could do it. What are we doing concerning the Word? Right? How do I see myself? Because my life is reflecting how I see myself. And so is it reflected from me growing up, from what I was told, from what my parents did? Do I think I can't go this far because my parents didn't go this far? Or because everybody in my family, this is the best they ever did? Nobody in my lineage ever owned a business, so I probably can't. What are the beliefs that I was told growing up that's affecting me right now? That's why the Word of God, He says, tell them to your children over and over again. Tell them what, though? What you think works? How the world operates and how you should get loans and get your credit up and you should get a credit card early. That way you can build your credit. That way you're able to get something nice later on. But yet that's what we're teaching our kids. It's what we were taught. And so now we're just trying to teach our kids the same thing instead of getting into the Word. And now we know what the Word says and teaching them that. Well, let's believe God for it. Because I caught myself today doing it. I was telling Chelsea, you know, Zoe's about to drive. She should probably start looking around for a job. That way she can pay for gas and stuff. Instead of saying the words, well, you need to start believing God for money and things like that for a vehicle. That should have been the first response. It should have been, well, we need a job. Obviously. But what about believing God? Why are we putting that second? Why are we making working first and then believing God second?
Amen.
Y'all know, we said it thousands of times, I believe, but Hitler, he said, give me the kids and I'll change your nation. Give me the kids and I'll what? Why? Because they're easy to be molded. And the older people are already set in their ways, and they know better. But you give me somebody young, and I'll teach them what I think. It's okay to be the way you are. It's okay if you think you're this, 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 and this.
Amen.
Well, amen. Pull up the message in that, please. Deeply respect God, your God. Do you have 6, 7? There we are. Write these commandments that I've given you today on your hearts. Get them inside of where?
You.
And then.
Amen.
Talk about them sometimes when you think about it. Talk about them whenever you hit a hard spot. Talk about them wherever you are. sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning to when you fall into a bed at night. Tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your homes and on your city gates. Amen. Get them inside you and then get them inside your kids, right? Another one, growing up, you know, how many of you ain't got to raise your hand or anything like that, but that thought or was told if a pastor was doing good or anything, he was stealing. Mm-hmm. He was stealing. Growing up, if we saw a pastor doing, not us, but I'm growing up, this is what I heard. If a pastor was doing good or doing wealth or doing well, having, yes, thank God, son almost didn't get that out. Doing well, having nice things, he's probably skimming, probably stealing. And so now we've incorporated, well, we haven't, but some people have incorporated that and really went after Brother Copeland. And Brother Jesse Duplantis, yes. Dr. Bill Winston, all of them. Mm-hmm. Well, you really don't think the Word of God can do that?
Amen.
But now we've incorporated that from a childhood because that's what we heard they were stealing. Don't have proof, but we was told that. And so now that's on the inside of us. And so whenever we see somebody prosper and doing good, either they're stealing or they're a drug dealer.
Amen.
Which don't make sense. Why can't somebody be prospering because of the Word of God? Why can't they be prospering because God made it for us to live in prosperity and in overflow, not in lack? Why can't that be the deal? Because that's not what we were told, and we've never dealt with it. And so we allowed that to stay dormant on the inside of us.
Amen.
And so now that's why prosperity kind of gets some people still every now and again. He's talking about money again. He sure is talking about prosperity a lot. Well, you ought to hang out with God. Not only that, is that something that we haven't dealt with?
Yes.
Growing up, you know, no, you hardly heard anybody talking about prosperity, talking about be humble, you know, drive an old vehicle, live in the shack, live down by the creek, drinking branch water, eating wild onions. Because that's what they were told, and then that's what they were told, and then that's what they were told. And so they just keep passing it down from generation to generation, and no generation's dealing with it. And so they just keep passing it on to their kids, like the same thing. Well, you're going to have to get a job if you're going to want to, you know, drive a car, pay for gas money and insurance. Not, you need to start believing God for a vehicle. You need to start believing God for finances. Amen. But a lot of times, like I said, a lot of that stuff just comes right out because that's the way we were taught. Well, look, you better get a good education if you want a good job that'll pay good.
Amen.
Why? That's what we were told. And so we incorporated that into our life. Just disregarding everything the Word of God says, it's like health. We will Google symptoms and things like that, and it'll say, well, if you drink this and this and mix this and this, it'll get rid of cramps, it'll get rid of that. And we'll start doing that before we even read a healing scripture in the Word of God. Before we even get to the Word of God, we done made 47 doctor's appointments. Nothing wrong with doctor's appointments, understand me, all right? Look, if you need to see a doctor, but read healing scriptures. While you're seeing a doctor, don't just see a doctor and then go to the Word of God.
No, go to the Word.
A lot of times we're making the Word second place.
Yes.
When it's got to be first place in our life. Yes. It's got to be first place in our life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's 8:00. We'll stop. Amen. Oh. hopefully we'll continue next week. Amen. Father God, we do love, thank you, and praise you, and magnify your holy name, and we do.